It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, June 3rd. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Federal officials and private companies are celebrating this week after apparently stopping in its tracks a botnet, a massive network of personal computers infected with malware and enslaved to be used by hackers. It did things like wait for your computer to go to your bank's website and then sneak in new fields for you to fill out while you logged in. Social security number, banking card number, stuff like that. Dan Kaminsky is a security researcher with the fraud-fighting firm White Ops. He says this all started with a virus called Zeus way back in 2007. But in 2011, Zeus got an update called Game Over to become Game Over Zeus.
Instead of there being a single network that cops needed to show up at and shut it down, all the infected computers started talking to each other. One of these peer-to-peer networks, specifically to make sure that there was no individual system that a government or a private company could shut down to shut down all of these bots.
So how did the FBI and private company collaborators create problems for Game Over Zeus? Kaminsky again.
There's still a central point where the commands will come from. It looks like they found the actual hacker who did this criminal work, a 30-year-old Russian guy. It was not easy. This was an operation with at least 11 countries and at least 11 companies. And notably, even the defenders are saying, yeah, we got it shut down now, but as far as we know, it may come back to life in 2 weeks.
Having the botnet offline even for now is still a good thing. The Justice Department estimates Game Over Zeus caused $100 million in damage. If you're a techie, you already know Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference kicked off yesterday, and as predicted by many, the keynote was software heavy. In fact, new hardware was nowhere to be seen. Joining me to chat about this is senior CNET writer Shara Tibkin. She says this week's announcements were about the idea of continuity between Apple devices.
For me, I think it's all about Apple trying to get all of their devices to connect together better and give you a reason to not only have an iPhone, but an iPad and a Mac. And, you know, you can pick up your iPhone, start an email, you know, maybe go continue it on your Mac because it's getting to be too long and you don't want to type it on the glass keyboard.
Uh-huh.
For Apple, you know, one of their most important and most valuable features is their ecosystem. And with the things that they introduced here, they're trying to build that.
And then maybe if we see some sort of hardware releases in the fall, they'll have maybe better functionality because of these software updates.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, they said this is going to be coming out in the fall, so we're definitely going to be seeing, you know, iPhone 6 coming out at the same time. And, you know, it just all goes back to trying to make a better experience for the user.
Shara Tibkin is a senior writer for CNET and was on the floor at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference. Shara, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It has been established at this point that there is a large and problematic gender gap in the tech industry. Last week's unprecedented report from Google on the company's diversity, or lack thereof, was just one of the latest headlines. A lot of people think that, like many things, this problem starts in our education system, where girls don't get the encouragement they need to get into tech areas like coding. Well, Natasha Tiku has been thinking about this. She's co-editor of the tech news website ValleyWag and has written an op-ed in the New York Times about it. Hi, Natasha.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. This is a problem that's not new, but there are some new approaches.
Right. Well, one of the new approaches is trying to use gaming as an entryway, as a sort of a gateway for girls to be interested in coding because it's what's already on their computer screens.
And it's interesting, too. I think there's kind of a misconception out there where a lot of people assume that gaming is a guy's thing.
Yeah, I think that the reason you see so many women and girls in gaming is because gaming has evolved. You know, it's those first-person shooter games aren't the only option. People mention like a Lilo and Stitch game, you know, Neopets, this thing called Super Goo that lets you morph faces around.
Minecraft.
Right. Well, Minecraft is just hugely popular. So it just opens up access to people who might not necessarily picture themselves as a coder, as a programmer. And it has two modes. One of the modes is creative, where It lets you build
your own world, etc.
Yeah, you use Java. And so a lot of the girls who are interested in coding just want to build something in Minecraft, make a modification. there's sort of a real-world reason for them to learn stuff rather than in the abstract.
A lot of the programs that you sort of looked at had to do with outside of school ways of getting girls into the STEM track.
Well, I think that's partly because the current way computer science is taught in school is in flux. And I think that these after-school programs or grassroots initiatives, their goal is to be incorporated into the classroom. You know, they think of themselves as a sandbox where you can sort of experiment with different languages. And these are hard subjects. You know, gaming is an entryway. It gets hard. It gives you a reason to stick with it, though.
Can you talk a little bit about your own experience?
Right. Well, I mentioned the piece about playing Carmen Sandiego, and I was really into it. But I took a computer science class in college as well, and I loved it. And so I signed up for a C++ class next semester, and I thought I'd be great at it. And then day one, it just freaked me out, and I dropped out. And I wish that I had stuck with it, because talking to these girls, I mean, they just have such a sense of empowerment. You kind of see the world, like, unfurling before them. You know, they have so many options. They can do whatever they want.
Natasha Tiku is co-editor of the tech news site ValleyWag. Natasha, thank you so much for talking about this with me.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, you should download the Marketplace app if you haven't already. We're on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, and, of course, on our website, marketplace.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.